Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 7 in the Message translation. The word love comes up numerous times, 19 by my account, but you can count yourselves and see if I got it right. The word love has been highlighted in bold in the text. Now, to make it more interactive and more impactful, you are invited to echo the word love when I say love, and if you want to, you can do the sign for love as well. For example, when I say blah, 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 love, you then say love, and you can do the sign for love if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth. Love puts up with almost anything. Love always trusts God. Love always looks for the best. Love never looks back, but keeps on going to the end. This is the word of the Lord.
Once upon a time, a woman visited a church. She hadn't been to church much before, and she was wondering what she would find. The first person she met was really into praying.
Hello, good to have you with us this morning. What's your name?
My name's Jean.
Joe, the Lord wants to pray for you. I will pray for you.
He waved his arms in the air, prayed for a very long time. And after a while, she got a bit embarrassed and decided to move on. But it didn't seem to matter because the person just kept on praying and didn't notice her go. The second person she met was really into preaching.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, I can see that you need a lot more Bible knowledge. My calling is to proclaim the Word of God and to expound the Scriptures.
So, he began to teach and preach from the Bible. And that went on for quite a long time too. Until again, the woman slipped away without them noticing her leave. And the third person she met was really into mission.
Hiya, how's it going?
Well, it's been a bit tough lately.
You need to give your life to others. I've given my possessions away to the poor, and I've been around the world helping the poor and the needy.
He got out his phone to show her all the places that he had been to and where he had served. And after a while, he was so absorbed in looking at all the pictures that the woman backed off again without him noticing. She left the building, a little confused.
Now I'd like to talk about forces. Attractive forces, repulsive forces, magnetic forces. I have a question for you. What do you think is the strongest force in the world? Oh, well, you've spoilt it now. I can go home. I've spent ages preparing this talk. I can just go home now. But you were right. You were quite right. Love is the strongest force. Many people think that it's love. Mahatma Gandhi said, love is the strongest force in the world that the world possesses. And yet, it is the humblest imaginable. Martin Luther King Jr. went even further, saying, love is the greatest force in the universe. Love. But what is love? Well, it's a small four-letter word found somewhere in the middle of a dictionary. But really, who uses dictionaries in books these days? Online, if you were to use an online dictionary, you'd get something along the lines of an intense feeling of deep affection, which can seem a bit underwhelming in our culture, which is obsessed with love. One will often hear, oh, I love your hair, or I love Chinese food, or, oh, darling, I love you. So it's fair to say love gets mentioned quite a lot, especially this time of year. In 2018, they did a study of music, and in the top 40 songs from 1960 to 2010, 67% were about love or relationships. Love is a very popular topic in music because it is a universal human experience. And this is not a new phenomenon. Love is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, often multiple times in a passage, as we saw in our reading today. But what does love actually mean? Well, the ancient Greeks felt the need to have several different words to express the different aspects and types of love. Four of these are found in the Bible. Eros. This was the type of love used for passionate, romantic kind of love. This is the mushy kind of love of Valentine's Day. Storge. Storge is a love between family members, particularly the strong love between parents and their children. Philia. Philia is a love between good friends. If you think back to the video of the children explaining what a good friend is, it can be quite tricky to define, and perhaps even more challenging to be a good friend. We can think of philia as a strong, trustworthy, long-lasting love between people, which goes beyond just liking them. And finally, agape, or agape. Agape refers to unconditional, selfless, sacrificial love. Agape is the type of love which was used in the original Greek text of our reading in 1 Corinthians 13, when it lists all the characteristics of love. Agape is also the type of love mentioned in the famous Bible verse of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. When you translate this using the meaning of agape love, it is even more powerful, like this. For God loved the world so unconditionally, selflessly, and sacrificially that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Wow. That is the type of love that God has for each and every one of us. And It's the type of love that Jesus says we should have for God and for each other. In Matthew 22, Jesus was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Agape love is often said to be the highest form of Christian love. It's a kind of active love. It shows empathy. It wants the best for others. It extends help. It demonstrates good intentions. It's not just a feeling. It is an active, determined act of will. Think of the story of the Good Samaritan. In that parable, the Samaritan showed agape love by caring for a wounded stranger without expecting anything in return. He put the injured man on his donkey. He took him to an inn where he cared for him. He paid for his board and lodgings. He didn't expect anything in return. Agape love is all about putting others before yourself. Our reading in Corinthians is from the letter written by Paul to a group of Christians in Corinth. They were struggling to get on together. There was quite a bit of showing off, different groups thinking they were better than others in the church. Some of the people prayed a lot, using clever human words and even using a special language of prayer called tongues. So they thought they were more spiritual than the other people. Another group of people were really good at listening to God, deep understanding of mysteries, having a certain faith. So they also thought they were better than others. And then a third group expressed their faith through practical things, like giving to the poor, suffering for God. So those practical people thought that they were better than the spiritual people. But Paul says to all of these groups, you can do the most amazing things in the name of God, but if you don't do it with love, it's empty. Just like the people in our drama, you can pray all kinds of amazing prayers, understand the deepest religious mysteries, give away all your possessions. But without love, it means nothing. Love is so important that Jesus tells his disciples, "A new command I give to you, love one another." John 13:34. But loving people can be really hard. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that we can only love because God loved us first. And our love is like an overflow of God's love poured into us. We love because He first loved us. Sometimes we can feel a bit like an empty glass. And what we need is God's love. So if you imagine this empty glass as us, and you imagine this red liquid in the jug as God's love, we can only love because God loved us first. So as I pour it into this glass, you can see that God is filling us up with His love. And only then are we able to love others.